This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. There are now many stories coming up from the land of the Eagle Ford Shale. We hear tales of truck drivers making over $75,000 a year, counter workers at the Carrizo Springs McDonald's being paid about $18 an hour, brand new pickup trucks are selling like hotcakes, and ranchers becoming multimillionaires if their land is sitting on top of oil and if they have the mineral rights. We're talking about the explosion of wealth and development with the Eagle Ford Shale just south of San Antonio. You are invited to join our conversations. Tell us your stories about how the Eagle Ford Shale is impacting you. Call us at 614-8980. You could also email questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. And you can go to our comments section on our website, tpr.org, or send us a tweet on Twitter. My guest is Tom Tunstall. He's the director of the Center for Community and Business Research at the UTSA Institute for Economic Development. So that's a nice, a long way of saying that you're the Eagle Ford Shale guy at UTSA. Is that right?
Well, we've done a fair amount of research on it, David. Yeah, it's an endlessly fascinating topic these days.
So it's just amazing for people who have, who know the area, who've known it for years and their entire lives. And if you haven't been down there in 5 years, down to the area of just south of San Antonio, like Cotulla or Gonzales, some of these, it's just, they've just exploded. And Alice and Jim Wells County, what is happening down there?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Our institute at UTSA has about 12 programs, one of which is the Rural Business Program. And, you know, we've been working with these communities for several years. And, you know, 3 years ago, the issues they had were brain drain and declining populations.
A depopulation. People were leaving, kids growing up and getting out as fast as they can, not coming back.
That's right. Yeah, because they're in large measure because there was no work there to keep them there. That all obviously has changed, and we've seen population in the communities just literally explode along with the production in the past couple of years, particularly from 2011 to 2012.
So when we talk about the Eagle Ford Shale, there's still a lot of people out there that they hear the word, they see the headlines, they hear the stories, not exactly sure what we're talking about. Of course, this is oil, natural gas development. There's this geological formation. Sort of like a, to me, it's like a brush stroke, kind of sweeps across Texas, the bottom of Texas, just under San Antonio, kind of starting in Del Rio, going all the way over across to Gonzales, and then kind of into towards Louisiana, right? Or into the Gulf? Or does it play out towards Gonzales?
Well, there's still activity. I mean, technically, the Eagle Ford Shale extends all the way up to Houston and Leon counties out up in East Texas. But in terms of the study scope that we took a look at, we really focused on 14 counties with the most active drilling. So it's that arc of counties and cities just under San Antonio.
Sure. And the oil and natural gas had always been there. It's just that it was too hard to get at before because the shale, it wasn't like you put a straw in the ground and it comes up like it used to at the Permian Basin. You have to work at it with fracking. Is that right?
Right. And, yeah, the shale is essentially the source rock for typically the oil and gas that we've you know, been drilling for decades in terms of conventional wells. So the vertical wells drilling down into pools of oil or gas. You know, what's different about this is that we're drilling actually into the shale, which is, again, is sort of the source rock for the oil. And with the combination of horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing, energy companies are now able to free up the oil and gas that's in there and produce it.
Because when oil was $35 a barrel back in the day, it wasn't worth it to go to all that trouble and expense. But now that oil's three or four times that, then you can, you know, it's worth it. You know, there's a race to get to that oil.
Yeah, and the technology is more expensive than a traditional rig. I think the typical cost for an unconventional rig now or to complete a well is somewhere between $6 and $8 or $10 million versus maybe $2 to $4 million for a traditional conventional well. So it is more expensive, and as such, will be somewhat subject to energy prices. I mean, that's always been the case in the industry, but certainly there won't be any exception with Eagle Ford. In fact, we saw production last year, from 2011 to 2012, flatten out for natural gas, largely because the prices were so low. I mean, they dipped as low as $2 per 1,000 cubic feet last year, which is very, very low.
Yeah, you see them flaring off natural gas at some of these sites. It's just not worth it for some of these well sites to bottle it up.
Yeah, that's basically correct, yeah. And unfortunately, I shouldn't say that, but for good or ill, when you drill for gas, you get gas. When you drill for condensate, you get some gas. And when you drill for oil, you still get some gas. So it's sort of inherent in the process.
Right, and a lot of people are concerned about what's happening with the land out there. We're going to go ahead and go to our calls, and we have Gary on the line. He wants to know, do they have to return to the land to the way it was before? Gary, you're on the air.
Thanks. I assume that these people have to have permits, and then they also have contracts with the landowners or the mineral rights owners. Do either one of those require them to be responsible for the impact that they have on the land, and are they required to bring it back to the way it was before they were there? And also, are they required to be responsible for anything that might happen, in both foreseeable, environmental impact and things if there was an accident or things that we just don't understand about the technology that could make the land less stable after they were done? Are the people who are making the money off of this, are they also responsible for stewardship of the land?
All right, Gary, thank you so much for that phone call. Tom, any?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer is yes, and Texas has a long history of oil and gas exploration and production, and those rules are determined by the Texas Railroad Commission, they when they drill a well, they clear an area for a drill pad, bring in the workers and the trucks, and then when the well's completed, the energy companies are responsible for restoring that area to the way it was before, obviously with the exception of the wellhead, which is there and producing.
Right. This isn't the first boom-bust cycle that Texas has been through. And in past boom-bust cycles, there was a time where drillers would drill a hole in the ground and then they went bust and they would just leave it. Since then, Texas has passed laws requiring to avoid this abandoned well syndrome that we used to have. It became an environmental problem. And but he does bring up an interesting point. What happens? What's the long-term legacy for the Eagle Ford Shale? What does the future hold for it? What happens when the oil runs out and all these workers go away? And do the people who've lived there for generations, are they left holding the bag? We're going to ask that question. We want to hear more from our listeners. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 614-8980. We're talking about the Eagle Ford Shale here on The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. We'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. We're talking with Tom Tunstall. He's the UTSA guy on the Eagle Ford Shale. If you've got questions or comments about what's happening to this energy boom just south of San Antonio, give us a call, 614-8980. And so, Tom, how do people who live in San Antonio, they hear about all these economic opportunities, driving a truck, $75,000 a year, how do I get some of that?
Well, you need your commercial driver's license.
But that's not that hard to get. It's a 6 weeks course down at Palo Alto.
Yeah, that's correct. And a lot of people are doing that. In fact, a lot of the educational institutions in the South Texas area are ramping up their programs for that and other associated programs like Lineman.
So what is a lineman? What are some other jobs that people could get, working on the Eagle Ford Shale?
Well, there's a huge demand for engineers. So it's interesting. We had done a workforce analysis back in October of last year, and we saw an increase in needs at all levels of education. So from short-term on-the-job training, which is defined as 1 month or 1 month or less, all the way up to bachelor's and master's degrees in geology, engineering of various sorts, things like that.
And we hear about rustabouts and you know, guys who are actually working the line, you know, and it's hard work. Mm-hmm. These guys are working like 10 days on, 10 days off. It's or even longer than that. And it's I've seen the videos of these guys working, and it is an orchestrated one wrong move, and you're going to snip a finger or two.
Yeah, absolutely. And safety is a huge issue. I mean, the energy companies emphasize that over and over. They're interested in keeping the rigs running, and so they have to operate them as safely as possible. So safety training is a big part of working on a rig, in addition to drug tests and there's lots of rules and requirements that they have to follow.
Right, but there's a lot of money to be made if you can stand up to the rigors of that schedule and that physical labor. Let's go back.
12-hour days, in a lot of cases, sure.
And they're around the clock. You see them lit up at night, all those lights trying to, they're in a race to get to oil while the oil is still pricey.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to Mark. He's on the line. Mark, what's your question, sir?
Hello. I was curious as to whether they were realizing what the impact was to the El Camino Real, which is a major trail that ran up from Mexico to North Texas. If you look at the map, the Eagle Ford Shale and the Camino Real pretty much coincide through all that region. And it's a rather ephemeral thing as it is, but it's looking to become a national trail system trail. And I was curious is if there's any archaeological impact statements being done on any of these wells or, it's private property, but on things that aren't private property, it's not really required. I mean, it is required but not on private property. I was just curious as to whether there's been any.
Okay, Mark. Well, and Tom, do you have any? Have you heard about the Camino Real? Is there any questions about its historical significance being altered or anything being destroyed?
Yeah, that's a topic that hasn't come up. It's interesting. I mean, we focus on economic impacts, and then there are other issues, community development issues that we're paying attention to as well. But that's a topic I'm out in South Texas and other parts of Texas talking about Eagleford fairly regularly, and that one hasn't come up yet.
Also, back to the phones again. Cora's on the line, wants to know about water and the fracking. Cora, you're in the air.
That's exactly what I want to find out, is where are they getting this water that's necessary for fracking, and is it tapping into the Edwards Aquifer? Now, the one that answered the phone said, well, it's not an economical, but it does affect our economy, so I would like to know where that's going and how it's being treated.
Okay, Cora, thank you for that question. And a lot of people are asking that question. Where is this water coming from? Millions of gallons of water used for each well frack.
Yeah, and initially a lot of it was, I'm not so sure about the Edwards Aquifer, but the Carrizo Aquifer was a source for a lot of the water. And initially most of the hydraulic fracturing was done with fresh water. That's been changing, partly because of the drought, partly because of the sensitivity of the issue. Increasingly, the energy companies are looking at trying to either recycle the water that they've used for previous hydraulic fracturing jobs, or saline water that's farther down in the water table.
And there's also experimentation going on waterless fracking.
Gas fracking, yes. So far the results appear positive. It's not clear, what the economics are, how comparable that is to the water and sand fracturing. But it's interesting to note that despite all of the water being used for hydraulic fracturing, it still represents probably 1 to 2% at most of the water use. In a lot of ways, the more critical issue with regard to water has to do with the workers and the additional population that's coming to South Texas. I mean, it was going to happen anyway. I mean, if you look at the state demographers' numbers, Texas population is about 25 million right now. It's projected to be about 47 million by 2060. So, we were growing. We were going to have water issues whether we had the drought or not. It's just the drought has brought a lot of them to the forefront.
Well, there are multiple water issues. One of them about the disposal of the water, shooting the water into these very deep disposal wells, which effectively takes it out of the water cycle. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't get cleaned and reused, and it's fresh water that's gone forever. And people don't like that, especially in such an arid place as South Texas. And I have read about places like Three Rivers, where they were at a point where they couldn't put any more new taps on their water system because it was just their water treatment plant couldn't handle it anymore. So these little towns are maxed out with their infrastructure. So how are they dealing with all this? What help are they getting?
Well, and you're right, infrastructure is a critical issue. One of the things we've been doing is working with the communities to try and prioritize infrastructure needs and then to help them find funding for it. In some cases, the increased taxes can fund some of it. But in other cases, they may need to look for private investment or other sources to try and build up the infrastructure. And then that infrastructure, as we look at community development issues, is hopefully the type of thing that they'll be able to use to attract other types of businesses to diversify away from just oil and gas so that the communities are sustainable, so that something should happen to the activity related to oil and gas, that they have things to fall back on.
So who are you working with? You're helping with county leaders?
Typically economic development directors and city managers in the South Texas area, but also city council folks, heads of chambers of commerce, county commissioners, really kind of across the board.
And what are their top concerns?
Well, it varies by by location, by city or county. In general, the roads are probably the most critical issue, but certainly water follows on that.
So they're asking these questions themselves, like, hey, we can't use up all our water for fracking, and then these guys go away, and we got nothing.
Right. It goes beyond water. Housing is a critical issue right now, and the economics are sort of out of kilter right now. So if you're a school teacher working in the area and you're renting, you're probably having difficulty affording the rent because the rents are so much higher than they were prior to all this activity in Eagle Ford.
Yeah, you see these worker camps pop up, all these like trailers that will be in a row in the middle of nowhere where these workers will be in their off hours. Doesn't seem like a luxury and a great place to relax, you know?
Well, yeah, the nice thing about the, and I guess they're typically referred to as man camps, but I was able to go visit some of them out in Carrizo recently. And they're portable, which is good. So that means they can kind of migrate as the activity in the Eagle Ford shifts. The rooms are small, but they're actually, I was surprised, they have, common areas where workers can, watch cable TV. There's something, they can get something to eat all the time. So considering their work routine, the fact that they're on 12 hours and then, off for 12 and then back on the job, I think they seem to be, suit their needs pretty well.
If you've got a question or a comment about how the Eagle Ford Shale is changing life down in South Texas, the number is 614-8980. And, I've heard that the banks down in the area and they have a huge problem that they have too much money. How does that?
Well, all this new wealth has caused a lot of people to pay off their existing loans early, which drives the banks crazy because, that's how they produce their income. And then correspondingly, they don't always have a lot of good projects or opportunities to relend that money. So, yes, in most cases, the banks down in South Texas are very flush.
Okay, we've got another caller on the line. Let's talk to John. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Okay. We've got property out in Wilson County, and with all this activity with the shell companies, they were supposed to be lowering our property taxes, and they were bragging about it. Look, with all this stuff, we can lower your taxes, and that's not the case. They've actually gone back up in spite of all the business that's going on in that area. So what would you have to say to that other than having to fight our taxes?
All right, John. Thank you for that call. Tom, so John's telling us that he's not seeing any, the economic development is happening. These people are putting in oil wells. There's some sort of tax revenue going somewhere. He's not seeing a benefit.
Yeah, that's interesting. We know that you know, pretty much across the board, the sales taxes are increasing. You know, in some cases, between 2010 and 2011, we saw 300-400% increases year-over-year numbers for sales taxes. As far as the property taxes, that's not an issue that we've taken too much of a look at yet. But I'm surprised to hear that, actually, and it may.
Well, I can see how that works, because all this business comes to town, these giant trucks, there's a huge demand on the local infrastructure, and there's not enough money coming in right now to handle all this extra services that the county has to provide. So they have to raise taxes on everyone in order to provide those services. And they're not getting any help from Austin, it looks like. I know that the bills have stalled in the legislature that's supposed to bring some help to the Eagle Ford Shale area.
Yeah, there are several bills under consideration in Austin. Some want to tap into the Rainy Day Fund, which is being bulked up, if you will, largely as a result of the severance taxes that are being collected at these counties.
So the oil and gas helps put money into the Rainy Day Fund. That's where it comes from.
Yeah, my understanding is about 75% of it. Once we hit our budget targets for the year, 75% of it goes into the Rainy Day Fund.
And it's not going to the places that are generating that Rainy Day Fund, the Eagle Ford Shale area. All right, well, Tom Tunstall, thank you so much from UTSA. Talk about the Eagle Ford Shale. We got to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the latest developments in Alzheimer's research. This is The Source. We'll be right back.